Amen. Without waste of time, let's just go to the reading of the word. Let's read. I think we'll start and go backwards. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 20. Okay, get it right. Yes. Just only verse 20.
Verse 20 upela.
It says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power."
Ngokuba umbuso kaNkulunkulu awuyingezwi kepha ngamandla.
How many agree with the scripture?
Bangakabavumelana nalo mbhalo.
Let's go to Mark 16.
Asine encwadini ngokwa Mark 16.
Verse 17.
So funa ku verse 17.
Mark 16 from verse 17.
Mark 16 verse 17.
"And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues."
Lezi zibonakalo siyakubalandela abakholwayo. Ngegama lami bayokukhipha amadimoni.
I hope you get to the sequence there. It does not say those that believe shall follow these signs. These signs shall follow them. Do you still believe this scripture? Amen. "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover."
Baphathe izinyoka uma bephuza okubulalayo, akasoze kwaba nengozi. Baya kubeka izandla phezu kwabagulayo.
As we pray. Dear God, this morning, once again, it is us, Father.
Amen.
We've read the scripture here, and we are expecting the blessings to come from the scriptures that we have read. And this morning, I believe every man and woman in the building can attest to the fact that the devil is a liar.
Amen.
And I believe that this church knows that we've got whatever weapon that is needed against the enemy in this hour. And that weapon is the name of Jesus Christ. Because demons tremble whenever we call that name. Diseases leave the bodies whenever we call that name. That name has got so much power, dear God. It makes hell itself to tremble.
Amen.
And this morning, we've got full confidence as we have read the scripture here that the kingdom of God is not only in word, but as well as in power, dear God.
Amen.
And this morning, as we are coming here, we expect you to come and take full control of this service. Let it be your service, dear God. Shut my intellect. Let it be you that will speak to your children. And as you speak to them, let me benefit, dear God. Amen. But above everything, when we leave this place, let every man and woman say, I know him better.
Amen.
Let every man and woman say, my battle has become easier.
Amen.
Let every man and woman say, the disease has left my body.
Amen.
That is why we are here this morning, dear God, as we commit everything to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
While you take your seats.
Nisahlala phansi.
Amen. Yeah, it's wonderful to see all of you.
Uhle ukuthi sinibone nonke.
Amen. After a beautiful Easter weekend.
Emva kwePasika nempela sonto elihle elihle esibe nalo.
Amen. If it had a rewind button, we were gonna press it. How many were you going to press that rewind button? We surely had a good time.
Ah,
God has been very wonderful. Amen. You know, maybe before I get to my message, I'm told of a sister. The minister was busy preaching. And the Spirit of God just came into the building. The presence of the Lord could be felt. It was in a message church. Now the minister said, if you are sick, stand up and walk. Now, I'm told there was a sister at the back of the building. She was confined to a wheelchair. When she heard the minister say that word, then she left the wheelchair and began to walk. Other people were clapping their hands. Some were crying. Her relatives came behind her with that wheelchair. Are you with me? When she turned and saw them, she went back onto the wheelchair and she never walked again. What happened? Certain things are effective for as long as you believe. Are we together? Brother Branham say your faith saves you.
Oh, Brother Branham,
your faith heals you. That's why time and again he would say, according to your faith. Amen. So this morning I am giving you anything that God can do. It's your full responsibility. It's not a deacon, it's not a pastor, it's not an elder, it's your responsibility. Amen. And I don't know how many were blessed in the convention. I started very well with Pastor Babe saying, Dagon must fall, the bride must rise. Amen. And Pastor Salem came, the unseen God made visible. Then he came again the next morning, part two, unseen God made visible. And Pastor Salem, Pastor Babes comes again and say, you've got an appointment. And he comes again and he says, the unseen God as he turns. And Pastor Salem comes and said, the quickening power. Wasn't it beautiful? That was our diet last weekend. That is the diet of the bride. It was a special convention to me. And I believe full heartedly that God is turning a corner.
Ngiyakholwa ngophelela kwenhliziyo yami ukuthi uNkulunkulu ujika igumbi.
God is ready to do great things amongst us.
uNkulunkulu uyimisela ukuthi enze into einkulu phakathi kithini.
He wants to disprove the theory that he's a historical God.
Ufuna ukuphula lokwanye kususa lokumqondweni wethu ukuthi uNkulunkulu womlando.
But he is expecting the right mental attitude.
Kodwa ulindele ingqondo elungileyo zabantu.
If this church can have the right mental attitude, the revival will break out in this church.
Uma leli bandla lingaba nomqondo.
Do I have witnesses here? A revival, it starts with an individual. Are we together?
So,
this message still has power to paralyze the demons, to paralyze the devil himself. And there is no one that can paralyze the devil except the person that I'm talking to this morning.
But
we've got to have the right mental attitude. God is about to bring a renewal in the message. For the past 5 years, the message has been under attack. But God is about to do something that the critics will acknowledge that God is doing something amongst them. Personally, I can say God is doing something in me. And confirmed it during the convention. And I say, the devil, what God has started, you will never stop. Has God started doing something in your life? You need to tell the devil that you shall never stop it. And let me tell you something. If God is about to do something in your life, then you will begin to see the devil coming with attack after attack. If you can remain standing and be resilient,
yes,
it will be a breaking of a new day. Are you here this morning? Just remain standing and keep on believing and keep on being prayerful. God is about to make a move to prove that he's not a historical God. I'm revived personally. Especially the last message in the convention revived me. Hallelujah. And a revived believer brings revival to others. Amen. You know, all messages were great. Pastor Salem would get into the realm of invisible and traced God or
Elohim
how he unfolded himself and co-descended. Wasn't it a beautiful picture? Now, Pastor Babes will come and take you and show you who you are. And while that one is showing who God is, this one shows who you are. And there was just a meeting point in the last service. Hallelujah. Are we together? God is doing great things. You know that past the testimony of Pastor
Davids.
I want to take a different angle. Pastor Salem arrived on Friday morning. Brother, but he went to pick him up at the airport around 5 o'clock. Before
sunrise.
And he came, he rested a bit. I think we went through the first day. And he slept. The next morning when I was having breakfast with him, he said, Pastor, I had a dream. And it troubled me. I say, what was the dream about?
He
said, in my dream, there is a young girl that came to me. And she was sick. And she said she has been to different doctors. And she said they are giving her the wrong medication. And the medication that they give her actually makes her sick. And she was telling me that she's tired. And he said in the dream, and he said, it didn't look like a dream, it's like I was awake. I said to the young lady, I say, follow me. And he said, I didn't know what the dream was. I woke up. But he said, it was real. And after the service, the last service, he says, now God has told me that girl was the girl that the father was testifying. If you come to God with expectations, God will honor an expectation. I don't know if we have made this convention just for one person. Just to prove to one person that God is alive. It is worth every cent that we spend. Are we together?
Amen.
But for me, God has proven that He's alive. And we'll continue believing in Him. You can get a sense, I'm still in the convention mood. I'm still blessed by the convention. The convention moved me. In the manner that, for a lack of a better way, that I've never been moved before. It left an impression on me that nothing can take it away from me. It brought a spiritual awakening to me. And help me to see where are the bottlenecks that prevent the power of God from flowing freely. It answered a lot of things that why we know much, but when it comes to the application of what we know, a lot of times we are shortchanged. Who can explain God the way message people explain Him? Who can show that who was He even before He became God? Who can trace how He evolved until later He became a man called Jesus Christ? Who can speak about the order of the church better than message people? Who can dress modestly like the sisters in the message? Who can sing better songs of redemption than the bride? Who can produce the face of Jesus Christ today except the bride? Not a drawing, the actual picture of Himself on Sunset Mountain. And as well, when He became a halo, how He met Paul. Who can produce those pictures except us? So that means, based on what we have, we must be the most powerful powerful force.
Fanele ngabe singamandla okanye amandla amandla ama
anamandla. Do you believe that?
Ngiyakholwa lo.
Based on what we have, we must be the most powerful force.
Bafanele sibe iqembu elinamandla.
Hallelujah. But why a lot of times with the material that we have we are crying?
Ingane nalezinto esinazo siyakhala.
Why are we rich but yet poor?
Ingane sicebe kangaka kodwa simbofu.
Are we together? Amen. And the convention sort of allowed me to look into that. And I think my life would never be the same. God has taken me to another realm. Is there anyone that God has taken them to another realm? You may not understand what happened. And I was praying, I said, God, for what you have done, let it not pass over the heads of the people. I was with a brother here. He came to me. He's not worshipping, he was visiting during the convention. He said, what God has done. He says, if it was possible, the whole wheat bank could have caught what God was doing. And he was telling me his personal testimony. And at the right time, he shall come and share the testimony with you. And I say, God, why did some come to the convention and walked away with blessings? And some walked, it was just an ordinary convention. And I hope you are not the part of the latter, but you are part of the former that can say, I managed to withdraw God's blessings. My life was impacted. The way I see things is no longer the way I will see things anymore. God has caused a paradigm shift. Are we together? And maybe while we are at it, just to connect with the inspiration from last weekend. Hallelujah. How many believe that they need a revival? Brother Branham says, the revival for the nations is done. But there is a revival for the bride that must take place. And we need that revival. Amen. And the devil has been making us to be caught up in carnal things. Hallelujah. Politics and all those things that have been happening. But I think we've got to rise. You know, when a wrong has been made, a lot of time it's not only the perpetrator that becomes wrong. Even the one that is being wrong can end up being wrong based on how they react. Do you have witnesses in the building? Has ever somebody wronged you? The way you reacted, you ended up knowing that we are not different. But we've got to rise above those things. Brother Branham, in this message, and we are going to speak about the dynamics into the mechanics. Amen. That's what I want to speak about. Brother Branham says, and I want this quotation to directly hit this church. In the message, The Resurrection of Lazarus. Paragraph 76. Says, brother, I feel really good about it anyhow. What this church needs today is a good revival. How many agree with the prophet? Not a new doctrine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
not a new order.
Okanye uhlelo olusha.
Just a stirring up of what we already know about.
Ukunyakaziswa kwaloko vele sikwaziyo.
Are we together? So whatever we need for the revival, we already possess. A new doctrine will not bring a revival. A new order will not bring a revival. But the stirring up of what we already know, what you know already, the whole thing is about God and man becoming one. What do you know? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What do you know? God became flesh. What do you know? The bride is a living article of God. What do you know? You are an attribute of God. What do you know? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can keep on naming, but we need a stirring up of those things. What does it mean, stirring up? We want those things to bring a life that can produce the result. Are we together?
So
I'll read another one. This, maybe you can regard it as a feedback from the convention. Pastor Salem read this quotation. It made me restless. And I said to you after the service, I said, you are my friend. I've seen you preach many a time. But this evening, it was not in line with your thinking. How many are witnesses? God just took a turn that even surprised you. And he says, ever since I preached, I was never relaxed the way I was relaxed. And I say, it was the presence of the Lord. Do you remember his statement if I quote him? If it is not written in the message, if it is not in your Bible, if it is not on the tapes, then remove me from the pulpit. But if it is in your books, if it is on your tapes, if it is in your Bible, then believe it. And what did he say? He spoke about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I think it's one area that has been underemphasized. We teach our people a lot of things. They end up with the knowledge of the message without an experience of the new birth, because you can never be born again unless the Holy Ghost comes into you and kills the old nature. We baptize a person today, down the line, their whole self comes up again. The baptism, Brother Branham says, only the Holy Ghost filled bride will go into the rapture. The Holy Ghost still is important, even in 2016. Do you have witnesses in the building? People have got intellectual conception of what the message is without experiencing the effect of the new birth. And that's why we've got a chaos that we see. But I want to emphasize behind this pulpit, it is important. Because the Holy Ghost is God depositing himself into you. That's what Brother Brown says. So the Holy Ghost is God in your flesh. And when the Holy Ghost is in you, he will teach you how to respond to different situations. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and be defeated, because you are no longer controlling yourself. He controls you. He believes in you. He believes in you. It's no longer your faith is his faith.
Hallelujah.
And the Holy Ghost is a filter. He will teach you the right things that must come. And he will reject the things that must be rejected. I want to emphasize, it is important. Everyone must have it. The tragedy is that you can be in the message for 20 years and be without it. But if I was you, I would not look the number of years that I've been. I would say, oh God, I need it. I will go to him and cry out. Yes, we have seen people being in the message for 33 years. They turn around and cast the message that they believe. They were never believers to begin with. But if they had the Holy Ghost, it seals you until your eternal destination. Are you here this morning, believers? Everyone from the pastor to the late, we must have it. I hope we are together. This message must have an effect. It must not be literature. It must empower people so that they walk out as empowered people. Let's be honest, brother. How many things have dragged you down? How many message believers that you are with that pulled you down? Things that you spoke about, they stole virtue from you. Do you have witnesses here that stole virtue from you? This morning, my plea to you, guard your virtue. Nothing must steal your virtue. Dwell on things that put more virtue into your life. And you will see what God will do in your Christian walk. He read this quotation and it stuck with me. You know, there are certain things. When they really hit hard at message people, we sort of avoid them and they are in our books. How many know what I'm talking about? You sort of bypass them because they really hit home. But I thank God we had an honest prophet. Hallelujah. To come and tie the loose ends. He read this message, this quotation in the message once more. It has got many titles to this message. But it was on the 17th of November 1963. Was it after the sales or before the sales? I'm asking church. After the sales. The 17th of November 1963, was it before or after the sales? So it was quite a few months after the sales. And the prophet comes and speaks to this after the sales. You know how we normally hide behind certain statements? No, I need to check, was it after or before? William Branham became a prophet the day he was born. He was a prophet before and after the sales. Do I have witnesses in the building? This doctrine that he was, whatever he said after 19, before 63, it was wrong. It needs to be rejected. That's a doctrine from the devil. I was fellowshipping with somebody during last week. And we're exchanging quotations. I forgot what topic we're talking about. But the question was it before or after? I say, then you've got to decide whether you believe this man to be a prophet or not. If you hear the person saying before or after, you must know that no longer believe Brother Branham to be the prophet. Does this church believe that he was the prophet since birth? Actually, he was a prophet even before birth. Because he says to Jeremiah, before I formed you, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I choose you to be a prophet. So William Branham was a prophet from eternity. So don't put time elements to his sermons. Whatever needed to be corrected was corrected by him. But the message must be embraced in its entirety. I feel led to dwell on this one. When they left Egypt, they had to eat the whole lamb. Hallelujah. There are certain parts of the lamb that are not nice. If I was to eat the lamb, I would definitely avoid the nose. It's terrible. The nose of a lamb is terrible. If you know, it has permanent flu. But it had to be eaten. Unpleasant as it is, it had to be eaten. So this message is the Lamb of God. And we must eat the message in its entirety. Do you believe that? We need to eat the message in its entirety. Maybe the reason the message was not effective, there were certain parts that we were avoiding. But I say, let's embrace the message in its entirety. Are we together? Now, on the 17th of November, he speaks this in 63. As my brother read it in the convention, it just stuck with me. He says, I have found two classes of people. One of them is the fundamental. You know, fundamental. Hallelujah. And me, we are fundamental. As he was preaching, I raised my hand. I said, that's me. Yes, I preach fundamental sometimes. If a man walks out of the wheelchair, we've got to ask the man that made him walk and say, are you baptized? Do you know that God is God, is not Trinity? Do you know that the seventh seal is open? That's fundamental. We can put up the scriptures nicely. Is it right if I say this behind the pulpit? I'll say it. That's how another brother put it. The another brother said, even if you are the dumbest of the dumbs, the day you receive the message, when you are with worldly friends, you are clever. Do you have witnesses? Yes, a backslidden brother is like a bishop in the world. When he puts the scriptures, it makes people shake and say, this man is wise. But they don't know that there is a prophet behind you. I'm just having a good time here. A brother backslided. And after he left, he worked for a Pentecostal pastor who owned a construction company. And he used to come drunk to work. You know, when you leave the message, you become worse. Because all demons now make you your resident. become a trophy of hell. So this brother, he even ended up drinking, went to work drunk. Now it irritated the Pentecostal pastor, because he realized if I fire him, the family will suffer. So I've got to reform this man. So when he came, he said to this man, why don't you just find a church and worship? Hallelujah. You see the pastor? There is a Pentecostal. The brother is a backsliding fundamentalist. Why didn't you find a church and worship there? And he asked him and said, tell me, if Jesus comes, which church is he going to use to judge the world? If he uses the Catholics, what will happen to the Pentecostal? If he uses the Pentecostal, what will happen to the Methodist? God is not going to use the church. God will use the words. This man is drunk. And the pastor looks and he said that, no, I don't have an answer. And say, Jack,
what?
Go and work.
Jack, how you seven?
Tomorrow he comes drunk.
Wednesdays
it was Mondays. When the pastor is blessed from Sunday, the man is drunk. And say, then why don't you just find a church? And any church. And go and worship him. He says, no, look. If I come to your church, how are you going to welcome me? He says, no, we'll baptize you. He says, he said, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The pastor, you got it wrong. The right baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This one is not the right one. It's just titles. He begins to give it to the pastor while half drunk. The pastor was surprised. He comes again and say, pastor, at your church you allow women to preach. He says, yes, if they are gifted. He said, sit down. The woman must not preach. He takes it from Genesis and puts it for him. Takes it to Timothy. Brings it to Corinthians and brings the scriptures. And the pastor was wondering, this drunkard knows better than what I learned in the seminary. Until he called him one day and said, things that you tell me about, where did you take them? And he laughed. Don't even you know that God sent the prophet? I thought as a pastor you should know. Did the prophet write something? Say, next week I will bring the books. Brother spoken word for him. And the pastor read them for 2 years. And came back into the message, and the drunkard was restored. God is a miraculous God. He does his own things at his own time. Do you love him this morning? Amen. Now he says, I found two classes of people. One of them is the fundamental. Positionally, he knows where he is in Christ. Because he knows the word. But he doesn't have faith in what he's doing. He knows his position in Christ. He knows the word, but he doesn't have faith in what he's doing. Do you have faith in what you are doing this morning? He hasn't got the Holy Spirit. I have seen young men that can explain the seventh seal. Better than even pastors in the message. But live like devils. I've seen it. Okay. Let me not destroy the convention mood. Are you still happy?
I was
just throwing the truth your way. But it must not just be the knowledge. It must be life. Some of the others, he hasn't got the Holy Spirit. Some of the others have received the Holy Ghost, but don't know who they are. Some have not received it. Some have received it, but don't know who they are. The first is like a man who has money in the bank and can't write a check. The second can write a check, but has no money in the bank. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we could get the two together, can you imagine the one that writes the check and knows how even to sign for it, but there's no money in the bank. But this other one, he writes it. Sometimes it's dishonored because it was badly written, but it's got money in the bank. If we could get the two together and get the Pentecostal to realize who he is and come back to the real full weight of God with that baptism of the Holy Ghost, it would set the world afire. I looked at this quotation and said, you get a sense that it's as if Brother Branham by default is approving the Pentecostals at the expense of the fundamentals. But he wasn't approving either. He was standing in the middle and said, only if both of them can come to the middle, it would set the world afire. Let's explore the Pentecostals. The Pentecostals, unapologetically behind this pulpit, I can say, be amongst them, there is no holiness. The boys are running up and down with the boys, with the girls, with these days, even with the boys, Hallelujah. It's just a mixed masala. Hallelujah. But in the midst of that, a Pentecostal can attribute every blessing to the Lord. He can tell you, this car, I pray for it to come at such and such day. This house, I pray for it to come at such and such day. This child was sick, I prayed at such and such. Pentecostals have prayer journals. They can tell you what they prayed for, when they prayed for it, and when they received it. Message people know. If they are there, it's fewer. Everything to them happens by default. This car, I just got it, my brother. This house, I just got it. Where is God in it? If it's your intellect, then you don't need God. But we need to say, for every blessing, God is behind the blessing. It's not my degree. It's not my salary. No, God was behind it. And I think we need to migrate into the realms where God becomes our currency. Yes, you heard me very well. I'll repeat it. God must be our currency. Faith must be our currency. We must be able to pray for our children, and the issues in their lives must be resolved. I hate a powerless religion. And the Brother Branham's ministry had power. And you have been given this message. But we need to teach you how to write a check. And how to cash it furthermore. I was telling a brother. There's a church. Yes, I can recommend Clean Christian Movies to you as a pastor.
Amen.
Clean Christian Movies.
Oh, okay, I'm a movie.
Don't be holy on me. Brother Branham watched the Ten Commandments. You know the fundamentals. Where am I going to watch it? Yes, your prophet watched the Ten Commandments. And when you say it was the best movie of all times, go and check it on your computer. Yes.
Yeah.
There is a movie that was done. There is a church in America, I forgot the name of the church. It's doing very godly Christian movies. I'm not promoting that church. But I like what they are doing. Clean one. One of them was courageous. Some of you saw it.
Courageous.
And Facing the Giants. Fire Pro. And now they have released another one called War Room. I watched it. And I looked. They don't know the message. Because you must remember, if somebody writes, they get inspired to write. I'm not here to promote a movie. Because people these days may be upset as we're hearing about a movie at church. But just to give you a synopsis of it. Snippets of it. It's a man that has got an argument with a woman that always fights with her husband. And then this woman, she's an estate agent. And she goes around and she's trying to sell a house of another old woman. And then the woman takes her around. You know how the oldies are like? They've got a story for every room. This is what we do when we are here. So she is taking her through the house. Then the next day when she comes, and the woman asks and says, "What is your favorite room in the house?"
So
this woman takes her to the closet. Closet is normally where you put your clothes. But in her closet, there were no clothes. It is the when you stick messages on the wall. All her prayer requests are on the walls. All her thanksgivings are on the wall.
And
then she says to this woman, "This is my war room." And it's every time I've got a battle, I come to this room. Doesn't Brother Branham say all of us, we must have closets? I hope you've got your own war room here. And she says to this woman, every time, there's never been a woman that fought with her husband and ever won. Always a woman that has fought for her husband with God has always won. She asked the woman and said, Are you going to church? And says, yes, I go occasionally. And she asked her, does your pastor preach occasionally? Because if you go occasionally, that means your pastor preaches occasionally. And ask her, is your prayer life cold or hot? And she says, no, somewhere in between. She was busy making a coffee. And she comes, gives her the coffee. When the woman drinks it, she asks and says, is your coffee always lukewarm? Says, no, mine is hot. I thought I should make yours the way your prayer life is. This morning I want to ask you, is your prayer life hot or cold? Things that you struggle with, have you taken them to the master? Let's be honest in the room, do you have a war room? Is there a place when things are tougher, you go into that room and call the name of the Lord? If you don't have that room, every battle that you fight, you lose it. But if you have that room, every battle that you're going to fight, you're going to win. Prayer life is a foundation of worship. You can never neglect it and be victorious. Are we together, brethren? When we say prayer life, something that is when we call them and say, come and open with the weight of prayer. And come and close with the weight of prayer. Pray for the food. That's not if you are praying like that, you are not even a believer yet. But being a prayer warrior is to go to your knees and pray for your family. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray for your children. And when God sees such a prayer, God will always respond to that prayer. Brother, friends, God will always meet a disparate prayer. When was the last time you were disparate? I said, God, you've got to do something. Or I am not living here. I will remain on my knees until you speak to me. Message people don't do that anymore. But yes, we come to church. We pay our tithes. We've got church order.
Yeah.
We know even when it's broken. Mechanics are there.
Ama mechanics are called.
Long dresses are there. Brothers keep their hair at a normal length, expected length. But you can ask in your heart, when was the last time as you as a brother, you went and knelt down and prayed for the believers, prayed for the ministry, prayed for your family? When was the last time? Pentecostals pray more, but they don't even know who they are praying to. Whether they worship God, the Father, God, the Son, they don't know. They are confused, but they are there on their knees. How much more about you? Yes, somebody is saying, but we are in the message, third pole, you speak the word. Don't be misled. Without prayer, you will be defeated. Because prayer for a believer is not just a prayer. It's the time they spend with the Lord. It's a communion time. They love being in the presence of the Lord. Not in a church. As individuals in their rooms. They love it to thank Him. And acknowledge Him. Are we still together, brethren? Yes. Now,
manje.
Brother Branham, in the message, it is the rising of the sun.
Umfowethu Branham emlayezweni, it is the rising of the sun.
He speaks about, I'll paraphrase this one, the long quotations. Or maybe you should, you won't doze off if we read it, it's not that long. Amen. Let me not lose it when I read this. It is the rising of the sun. Now, for instance, if we were going to go back to Tucson this afternoon, or maybe that are traveling, now each and one of us was going to go in a big Cadillac, brand new, with all the seats made out, softest of leather. The floorboards were plush. The steering wheel well nickel plated. With some little diamonds around the steering wheel. The engine was mechanically tested to be exactly the right engine for the body. The wheel bearings well and greased up. The tires were all puncture proof. Had been tested scientifically. Hallelujah. That's the running power. Then the gasoline. Because in it there is octane. Now we are going to start there. Although both of them look just alike, there's one of them don't have any spark. Hallelujah. Well, you say the power is in the gasoline, Brother Branham. But I don't care how much power is in the gasoline. Unless there is a spark there to manifest that power. Unless there is a power there to confirm that it's gasoline, it might just as well be water. No matter how much theologians claim, how well you get your church set, how much education you've got, how much like the Bible until that wave shift, until the Holy Spirit comes upon the person to quicken that
weight,
the gasoline represents the weight. It's the truth. But without the Spirit, it won't move. We have put too much stress on the mechanics and nothing on the dynamics. It needs the dynamic power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ upon the church to manifest and to bring to pass that this is gasoline. It might be in a gasoline can, it could still be water, but the only proof of it is to put the life on it. It will prove whether it's a gasoline or not. Are we to, Brother Branham says, if we've got a beautiful car with beautiful tires, well polished, with soft leather, like it's soft like the baby skin, the leather, with a steering wheel plated with diamonds, those are just the mechanics. You can polish it and enjoy it and look how it shines, but it is of no use until you get into the driver's seat and turn the engine, and the engine responds to show that it has the power. The mechanics are admirable, but without the dynamics it will remain immovable. But today, there's been a lot of times where we polish our churches, where we polish our sermons, where we polish how we dress, how we sing, how we do this and that. But brother, as long as it's immovable, it's just the mechanics. But today, we don't need only the mechanics, but we need the dynamics. We need that car on the road to prove that the Spirit is there. Brother Branham says the written word is the mechanics. You can know where Genesis is. You can explain Genesis. You can explain John chapter 1. That is just the mechanics. But the Spirit that comes and takes the word and quickens the word, that is the dynamic. Today we need the Spirit of God back into the church to bring the dynamics. What will the dynamics do? They will bring the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, where you as a believer, you've got power that makes the devil to respect you. The devil does not respect the church. The devil doesn't respect the knowledge, but the devil respects the Spirit of God in a believer. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Today we need His Spirit. That is the dynamics. And when you've got the dynamics, you're able to confront every situation and say, David, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Because you've got the dynamics. God, give the dynamics back into the church. The dynamics, when they're in the church, they transform people from the heart. Not just the conduct, but they are repented from the heart. We need the dynamics back. Are you here this morning? Even today we compete with mechanics. At our church we don't have many items.
We've
got three. Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that church they've got ten. Mechanics.
Mechanics.
What about the dynamics?
Amandla ke awuphi?
And in the absence, if you have mechanics for far too long,
umona ama mechanics isikhathe eside,
without the dynamics,
angekho amandla,
then you begin to manufacture things.
Uyaqala uyayikhandela wena izinto.
You imagine you hallucinate.
Wena uyacabanga nje.
Then you make your hallucinations testimonies.
Umcabango wakho usabalele ukuba ufakazi bakho.
Some testimonies are just hallucination. But a real testimony. Have you heard it there in the convention? The girl was sick. And you know what we need to do? I'll tell you how to handle a gift. Whenever we have prayed for a person, if they've got HIV, we don't just pray and say, oh God, heal our sister and sister from now on, confess that you are healed. And then she comes, I'm healed. And
we
say, testify. No. We don't do things like that. The doctor that determined that this woman or this man is HIV positive must write another report to say, even me, I don't know what happened. I can't even trace it in his bloodstream. Negative. Come after 3 months. After 3 months. Negative. Come after 3 months. Negative. Then we bring the doctor's report. And say the sister was sick. Here's the report. But here are other reports. After we prayed for the sister. That is the dynamics. But a lot of times, they come and testify. And we bury them after 6 months. And we hide it. They say, It was in the will of the Lord. It's not because God is powerless. No. God has got enough voltage to set this world on fire. And he will pick up an uneducated man. Somebody written off. Like our prophet. To set the world on fire. Hallelujah. He's got that voltage. This morning you can be an instrument. That God can prove. That he is alive. As long as you can have the right mental attitude. Amen. Amen. And you know, I had a meeting with the pastors. I said, pastors, the body of Christ is wounded. It has seen she has seen a lot of gimmicks. And now they are suspicious of everything. How many suspicious people I have in the building? It's only four. God bless others. You need to share with us what makes you not to be suspicious. Because as we have seen the Mboros, the Bushiris, the TB Joshuas. You know, is it Bushir? Bushir, yeah, from Malawi.
Oh, Bushir, opume Malawi.
They show him. He's coming down the stairs. And all of a sudden, it shows that he's walking in the air. But they don't show the whole body, they just show the. Then, while people are claiming men of God, another comedian. And say, I know that trick. I'll show you I can walk in there. They show him coming down the stairs. And now he walks on the air. He said, but with me, I'll be honest and show you. Show the whole boy. He was holding something there. What the church thinks is a miracle. Comedians, they look at it and say, what a comedy. But I'm glad in the ministry of William Branham there was no comedy. Every miracle was authenticated. And I'm here to report that what the Brother Branham, the angel that was with Brother Branham, is not in the grave.
William Branham,
he never left with William Branham. That angel has got no grave. That angel is the eternal being. And my prophet says, wherever this message shall be preached, that angel will be in their midst. Who is that angel? He doesn't have the beginning of day. He doesn't have the end of day. Who is that angel? He is Melchizedek. And where is he today? Wherever we are, he's there. That angel is here this morning. And you need faith to contact that angel. And when you contact that angel, he will respect you and come your way. Are we together? But we need the dynamics. Amen. Amen. In the message, God's provided way of worship. He said, that was the matter with the church today. We are full of theology. Without any dynamics in it. In other words, we've got to have the spark to the gasoline. It's not even as good as water. As long as it hasn't got the spark to fire it. No matter how well we are taught, how well we believe, how much of the Bible that we say is true, and we believe it all true, it's got to be the dynamics that have got to be there, the spark, to set the weight of fire and make it start rolling. It's got to have that. If you don't, the church sits still,
the
car sits still, you are still. No matter how much you say, I sympathize, I believe every word of that. You've got to have something to spark that off. To make that 100 octane to go firing. That and the big church of God, God to moving on, it's got to take the dynamics with the mechanics. Nothing wrong with the mechanics, but the lacking of dynamics. I think that's what the matter with the church today. We are lacking that dynamical power to press this weight and make it live for this day. Hallelujah. And God can never give you something that you say that you don't think you don't have. Hallelujah. You've got to say, I don't have this and I need this. Hallelujah. He says in this message, Moses looked one day. He saw a pillar of fire. It attracted his attention of this great theologian. He had run with all this theological training. His understanding by his mother of the weight itself of how he was going to deliver the children of Israel. But when he tried in his way, he failed. And although his mother had thoroughly instructed him on what to do and what he would do and what God had raised him for up, all this knowledge, as good as it is, it is good, but it had to be set off. It was only the mechanics. The mechanics is not what runs the automobile. It's the dynamics that runs it. The mechanics don't run the church. It's the dynamics. The Holy Ghost that gets into this way. It's not a seminary that teaches you all the theology and the Greek interpretations, but it's the dynamics of the Holy Ghost in there to set that afire and to bring it to pass and to make it live just exactly what the promised weight is for this hour. Not the mechanics,
I am a mechanic.
The dynamics. It takes mechanics and dynamics. The weight and the spirit, they are the one that gives life. And today we need the dynamics. As we normally speak about the two disciples, Peter and John, when they came across the gate called Beautiful and found a man that was lame, that had been struggling for the rest of his life, that had become a beggar next to the church of God at the entrance of the temple. Isn't it just a sorrowful sight that a man can suffer at the entrance of the church of the living God? For many years he's been there. The visiting ministers come, the pastor comes, comes, the lady comes, they pass that man. But they had the mechanics. They knew what time to pray. They knew all the scrolls. But here is the man that was blind, lame, at the entrance of the church. Until Peter and John came. The man that did not only have the mechanics, but they had the dynamics. And they came there and said, silver and gold, we have none. But such as we have, we give it unto you. Look on us. What a bold statement. What a bold statement. Do we have believers that can tell the world, look on us. Silver and gold, we have none. But such as we have, we give it unto you. Look on us. What is it? The dynamics. You have heard about third pool. You have heard about the seventh seal. You have heard about speaking the word and going forward. When was the last time you activated that? Do you have a testimony next to the sermons that you have heard conference after conference? Or the more you hear them, the more you sink. Have you got a testimony and say, Brother Mariba, I am aware that the third pool ministry is alive. There was this situation and I was in this situation and I remembered what the message of the hour said, and I stood up in that condition and I spoke to the condition and the condition was resolved. And I'm here to tell you that this message is alive. Or you just know. We come on Wednesday. And Sunday. And hope for the convention. And it's just a routine. I know how to do my hair. How to dress. How long the dress should be. Those are the mechanics.
Amen.
Those are the mechanics.
I'm a mechanic.
Where are the dynamics? Can you bear record with this message and say, indeed, I'm an eyewitness of this ministry? I told you the other time when I took my daughter to the hospital. I don't know. That day I just felt a move in my heart. Say, they're admitting her. I remember I phoned Brother Mutlabi. I remember my exact words to him. I say, but this pediatrician, she sees the medical aid, Brother Mutlabi. What is 40, temperature of 40, is it degrees?
Yeah,
it's not that high.
If temperature of 40 degrees, I think
Brother Mutlabi said, hey, it's high. And I dropped to the phone. When my wife came, I said, hey, I phoned Brother Mutlabi. Yes, he's a doctor. He can't give me wrong advice. It will be unethical. Hallelujah. He's got to do what he's trained for. And we packed it and we went to the service, to the hospital. We struggled to find a parking. We went around the building. And now we found the parking. And went in the parking. Then I said, but do we really believe this message? Something I didn't imagine weekend without my family. Hallelujah. And I know when she goes to the hospital, there is no doctor that will release her tomorrow.
It's
minimum 4 days. And there will be drips all over her body. You've got to be led by the Spirit. Something said no. And I don't say because I say it, next time when your child is sick, you say, hey, you remember Mfundisi?
You
remember the pastor? If she dies, we'll blame you. You've got to. Your testimony must be authentic. You must not copycat somebody. You must be led by the Spirit. Then I said, no, we are not going in. And my wife said, no, let's go. Then we went back. And then later we prayed. And the child was well. She has never been there. And she's fine.
We are peace.
From that time, I say, oh God, this message has power. But forgive us. You have given us the buttons to press. But we don't reach those buttons. We go to man-made buttons. And we leave godly buttons. And I say, what is a godly button? By faith, Abraham. By faith, Enoch. By faith,
Abel.
Can I say about you, by faith, Mervin? Doesn't any believer can risk that? If we say by faith, what are we going to say by you? And if we've got nothing to say, know this and let it sing. Faith without works is dead. And the gospel that we preach, we don't only preach it in words, but we preach it in power. This gospel has got power to move mountains, to move obstacles, to move the devil himself. Are you here this morning, brethren? Amen.
Amen.
Brother Branham says, in the message,
pardoned.
The written word
is
the mechanics.
Mechanics.
The living word
is
the dynamics
amandla
pulled out of the mechanics.
Ekhisho ma mechanics.
The spirit
umoya
ignites the mechanics
kuvuthisa abantu qala ukusebenzisa ama mechanics
and bring it forth
uqala ukusebenzisa
and bring forth the dynamics
kulethe amandla.
We have told you about the story of the Mississippi woman for a long time.
Sinjelile ngalo daba lalo mama wase Mississippi isikhathi eside.
Her son was sick.
Indodana yakhe igula.
And she read in the Bible.
Wafunda eBhayibheli.
About the Shunammite woman.
Umfazi wase Shunammite.
And read about Elijah.
Wafunda ngo Elia.
It was just the mechanics.
Mechanics
based on what God did in history.
Kulonkulunkulu akwenze.
This is what Elijah did.
Lo Elia wakwenza.
This is how Elijah rose that child. This is the Shunammite woman. As long as she read it and it remained the written
weight,
it was not going to help the child. It was just the mechanics. But when the spirit that wrote the written
weight
got into her and inspired her to have faith, the mechanics produced the dynamics, and she said, where is thy Elijah? Where is thy Elijah? I see the mechanics. I need this written word to be the living word. The written word will never heal my son. It can only give me the promise. But the spirit must come and ignite the written word and make it to be the living word. And when it happened in her heart, she said, oh God, where is the Elijah? The dynamics that grounded the plane, they interrupted the airport schedule. The pilot was delayed. And Elijah walked out of the plane. It was not because the pilot was negligent. It was not because they were delayed. But somebody in their room, somebody in their little closet, that was never to bring to the message church, somebody that was never baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody that was fundamentally wrong, but they had the power to bring the dynamics. Where is the Elijah? As a prophet,
prophet.
He lost his willpower. He was pulled by a power that he could not explain.
He said, turn left.
And as he was walking down the street, look at the person that has managed to ignite power from the written word.
She
was sitting there relaxed. Oh, if a believer can know that the word of God can be arrived, you will be relaxed. In the midst of the storm, she was relaxed, waiting for her Elijah. What manner of faith is that? And I believe that faith is in the building this morning. It is waiting for the right time to be ignited. Have faith in God. And she was relaxed there. And Brother Branham was walking. And as he was passing by, she said, good morning, pastor. Good morning, pastor. How did he know him? Oh God, we thank you. He was Elijah. The scripture produced him. This morning, some of you, you need things from God. There is a scripture. There is a verse. There is a quotation that can produce what you need. You need to receive the Spirit to bring the dynamics out of the mechanics, and it shall be so. Do you believe it this morning? Jesus Christ is here. Melchizedek is here. The angel of God is here. The dynamic is here. You must access it. We must access it. Believe. All things. All things. All things. Can the church repeat after me? All things. All things. All things are possible to them that believe. I want you to report to God. I believe. I believe. The prophet said it. The Bible said it. And I believe it.
Amen.
We are tired of being victims. To come here and listen to sermons. We need a tangible God. You remember that boy? He said there was a lightning. Then he cried, said, oh, mommy. He said, why are you crying, Johnny? He said, oh, mommy. When it is thundering, I need a coat with a skin on. How many believers here that can say, I need coat with a skin on? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That God is here. That Melchizedek is here. This message was confirmed by the pillar of fire. God is in the building. Do you recognize him?
Amen.
This is a time of our revival. This is a time of our revival. We're going to put the devil in his place. Because the word is alive. I believe it. I believe it. There's not even a demon in hell that can make me doubt it. I believe it. And I want you to believe it. That situation, that problem, that disease, you have heard a lot of times when we say speak to it. Maybe as our pastor, I need to speak to you to it on your behalf. If you don't have enough faith, let me do it for you. Move out of his life. David, move out of her life. Move out. Move out. Move out. And you've got to believe it. And act upon it.
Amen.
Amen. Brethren, there is a spot where we must reach and occupy and remain there. At that spot, many things that are deemed impossible are gonna be possible. The problem the devil is tricking us.
There's been politics after politics. Until when you go to church, you want to check, what did the pastor say? If he said that, maybe he's referring to that situation. Is the devil making noises in our heads? The word must be believed. And as your pastor, I pledge to you, nothing of politics will be preached behind this pulpit. It poisons the church. It makes the church to be analysts instead of being believers. I want you to believe only the word will come from this pulpit. Because the church needs the word. If we pastors preach politics, you are sinking further down in your problem. But if the word comes, then it will liberate you. Then it will lift you up. We need the word. And I hope some of you can realize it's a privilege to be sitting in church this morning. Because there are people that are connected to your life that are not in church but are relying on you. So while you are in that chair, don't play church. Mean business. And say, David, Satan, I'm here to listen to the great captain. And when I leave this place, I need to have the right weapon. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. But how many times does the devil rob us? Got children that are struggling. But we are in the message. There must be a solution. We've got marriages that are under pressure. But we've got solution. I will never pretend like we don't have a solution. But there's got to be a change with the way we look at things and how we take God's word. Then it will bring something that will change our environment. And I want to say, if the devil has been against you, you are a threat to him.
When a wind goes,
the devil doesn't bother people that are not a threat. When you begin to be a threat, then you see the devil coming against you. When they will give you a testimony, for 2 years I fought the devil every day. He tried in every avenue of my life. And after the convention, I was smiling. I looked at the devil and said, for 2 years, you wanted me to sink, but I'm still standing. That means I've got something that is going to disempower you, and I'm realizing my position, and I'm coming after you. Don't be a cry baby. You are a predestinated son and daughter of God. You need to rise up and be the little David of the hour that will come all the way at the back with no military experience, who has never participated in a warfare, but who knows what God can do, who has seen God at work. He never read about him, but he saw him at work. We don't need the believers that can only read about him. But we need the believers that can say what I read. I saw him doing that. And that's how David was. They had the mechanics. You know that they had the tallest king in the land. They had armaments. They had history of the God of Israel. They could quote when he opened the Red Sea. When he opened Jordan. When he stopped the sun. But yet, on the other side of the mountain. Trembling. Until a shepherd boy who had seen God destroy the lion. That had seen God destroy the bear. He came just to bring lunch. Such a despicable duty. While other men are fighting, they send you to take lunch. What can you expect from the lunch boy? In the midst of the battle. When the weakest of the weakest of
Amen.
Goes on their knees. The devil trembles. And when he came, the boy, he looked this way. He looked that way. And forgot why he was there. And I began to ask, who is that man? And they say, shh. I said, who is that man?
Shh.
Then the man cast the God of Israel. And David looked and said, the picture is not right. He was full of indignation.
So the
is not right. I'm
going
to take that man. And they took him to the king and said, this boy says he would go. A petite 15-year-old boy. And Paul and Saul said, let's put the breastplate on him. Let's put a helmet on him. Let's give him a sword. And as the boy was walking, he realized, these
mechanics
are not right. I cannot approach Goliath with this mechanic. He went back and gave Saul his armaments and took the slingshot. You've got something in your life that you have used it before, but that you are undermining now because you forget where God took you from.
Amen.
And David took the slingshot and began to walk down with a slingshot and picked up those 5 stones that represented the name Jesus, that represented grace, and put it in the slingshot and ran towards Goliath. This is the believer that could tap into the dynamic power, and with the mechanics, with the slingshot, he released the stones. But the Spirit of God came on top of one stone. When the mechanics and the dynamics came together, the stone was redirected. And before we knew it, Goliath was down. What happened? Somebody had faith. This morning, God doesn't need much. God doesn't need all of you. He needs just one person in their corner to realize who he is based on the written word and connect the written word with the living word, and the dynamic will come because of the right attitude. You will have testimonies that no one has ever heard of. But you believe you are in need. We are all in need. We need God's power in our life. But I'm here to report it's accessible. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand up. God bless you.
Amen.
You know, can everyone have a prayer, a war room? Hello, Bazalwan. Can we have a war room? This thing of praying in bed must end. It must fall. There's nothing as bad as a believer that prays in bed. Where you know, Mrs.
with the Juvet.
Atete Juvet ayivale ngayo.
In prayer.
Ayikhuleka.
And maybe if one family member prays longer, he dozed off. Until they wake you up and say, we said amen.
Amen.
Then later you will stand up and say, we had a great army. Why are you misleading? And you need to know how to pray alone. Me, my whole room is this office here at church. Lunch times you find me here. Praying. Praying. No one to disturb me. I'm able to meditate. Do you have a prayer room?
Amen.
And I think it's one place, even when we buy a house, we forget that we need to have a place where we pray. You've got to have a place where when you walk in there, as soon as you walk, the devil knows that I'm in trouble. Maybe you don't understand. The prophet, he was booked into a lodge. Brother Brennan was very discerning. When he got into the lodge, he went in, sat down, took his luggage and moved out, and said, I need this room to be changed. And they said, why? Another brother asked him, say why? He said, a night before, there is a couple that committed adultery in that room. That spirit is still hanging. If the spirit, a demon, can hang in the room, how much more would an angel hang in your prayer closet? That room, if you have it, it will recharge you. Do you understand what I mean, brother? I hope you get the severity of what I'm saying. We've got to make sure that we restore our prayer life. You don't just pray because you need something. There are times where you just need to go there and thank him. Are we together? And then you will see God doing certain things. Amen. You must have your time with the Lord alone. Sisters, when the brothers are at work, have time when the kids are not around. When you pray, when they come back from work and come back from school, they walk into the atmosphere that you have created. Brother, before you go to work, have a place where you pray. You may need that atmosphere when you come back from work. I hope you don't just say Sunday mfunis when you get an intimate. I hope it sinks in. Because the devil takes this seriously. And we need to take it seriously. Are you not tired of reporting losses every year? You lost this child to the world. You lost your joy. The devil has taken this inch of ground in your life. Are you satisfied until he will come and take you? It's time you claim back.
Hard to claim food.
And you can never claim back until you become prayerful.
Amen.
Let's make this God to be practical. Amen. He will move. Amen. I will say this. You know, some we bought, I don't know why I'm feeling that. You know, this is where you see. A Pentecostal will never buy a car. I'm not getting at you. But I've seen in the message, we don't dedicate cars anymore. You just buy a house and move in. Do you know if the people that stayed there were divorced, there is a spirit in that house? Are you here, believers? What stopped us from consecrating things back to God? God bless you. I feel led to say that. Amen. God bless you. There is an army rising.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain,
to break every chain, to break every chain,
to break every chain.
Sing it.
Gentle Savior, About the angel of the Lord.
Yes.
When he starts, he says, this will set a revival in Arizona as it has never been seen before. An old-fashioned revival. And even last week, Father, we saw it happening, Father. And even this morning, Father, we're seeing the continuation of it, Father.
Thank you, Father.
It will, this, what has happened last week, Father, even what has happened to it, Father, has stirred our soul, Father. It has moved us from one position to another, Father.
Exactly.
It has moved us from glory to glory, Father. Because, Father, there is the dynamics in the mechanics, Father.
Yes.
It's not only us knowing the scriptures. It's not only the written word, Father.
Yes.
It is also the living word, Father.
Yes.
Because your word tells us, Father, it's like you said when you are your disciples, Father, that I have to go away, Father. That the spirit of power, the spirit of hope, Father, might be in you, Father. And that will be the spirit that will guide you, that will teach you, Father. And this morning, Father, it is what is lacking in the church this morning, Father. That the spirit of hope, the Holy Spirit, Father, to be able to guide us, Father. That, Father, even the way that we know, Father, we'll be able to apply it, Father, so that it will be manifested in our life, Father. Because the devil, Father, he knows the scriptures. When you say the scriptures, if you don't have the word in you, Father, if you don't have the spirit in you, Father, he's not afraid, Father. The only thing that will scare you, Father, is for you to leave that word, Father, and for us to be that word, Father. Hear your children this morning, Father. They believe in you, Father. They know, Father, that with you, with them, Father, they are more than conquerors, Father.
Yes.
That the devil stands no chance, Father. He can never defeat them, Father. That when they are with you, Father, they are more than conquerors, Father. Because, Father, that is what you've set us this morning to be, Father. To be more than conquerors, Father. To be able to go from one stage to another, Father.
Yes.
Defeating the devil, Father. Not for us to be crying as victims, Father. Because that's what Satan is once, Father.
Exactly.
That is what Satan thought, Father, when he sent when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, Father. He said he got him, Father. Because he knows, Father, that he has the trinity of he has his own trinity, Father, which is death, hell, and the grave, Father.
Yes.
He saw that with that trinity was going to swallow him, Father, up, Father. But, Father, on the Easter Sunday, Father, when Jesus Christ rose up, Father, he was defeated, Father. He didn't know what hit him, Father. Because the word tells us, Father, that his spirit went to you, Father. His body was still in the grave, but his soul went to hell, Father, to preach to those souls that were lost, Father. So that each and every, Father, there may be freedom for us, for all of us, Father. So that, Father, the word that you've said unto us, Father, that we may be able to live, Father, it will be the truth, Father. Because, Father, we know that there is a life in Christ, Father. And that is what is needed in the church this morning, Father.
Yes.
That people might live that life, Father. We shouldn't come here and quote scriptures only, Father, but we should live that life, Father.
Yes.
May you please help us, Father. We are asking, Father, that, Father, even when you go to our respective homes this morning, Father, may that life of Christ be in our house, in our houses, Father. May our children know, Father, who their parents believe, Father, that they believe the living God, Father, the God that is not dead, Father, the God that will make a change in their situation. It doesn't matter, Father, what condition we have, Father.
Yes.
As long as we are in the condition, Father, there is bound to be a change, Father. As long as we are here in our lives, Father, there is bound to be a change, Father. I don't know why your children have their hands up, Father, but you know why they are hands up, Father. Because you can search the soul, Father. You can see into the hearts of men, Father. And you can make a change in them, Father. If there are those that are yearning for a revival in their soul, Father, those who are yearning for you, Father, to come and touch them, may you please touch
Let
them, Father. So that when they come out of this service, Father, they might not be the same, Father. They will say, Father, you came and you spoke to them, Father. The angel of the Lord, Father, has been here this morning, Father.
Yes.
That he came and he touched them, Father. May we, Father, while we are going this home this morning, Father, may you please bless each and every one of us, Father. May you please bless the pastor, Father. Virtue has gone out of him, Father. May you please bless him, Father, so that even next time, Father, he'll come and bless us like he has blessed us this morning, Father. We pray, believing in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. A brother and a sister. They are couples. They've been looking for a child for many years. And before the convention, they're not worshipping here. The sister said to the brother, give our son a name. And the brother said, okay, we'll name the son Samuel. And they come to the convention. And Pastor Babes preaches. He speaks about Hannah. And it says, if you are barren, receive your Samuel.
Tholu Samuel wako.
Is it a coincidence? Some people, when they go to church, they mean business. Let me stop it here. They will come and give you the testimony. How it ended up.
How would you pay it?
But I can tell you, God is on the move. God is doing something silently but impactfully. If I was you, I would say, as you pass by, hear my humble cry. Amen. I don't know, give us just a nice worship. Today we live with a worshiping song. Give us two worshiping songs. And thereafter we leave.
Amen.
But set aside time every night and pray. Amen. The Bible says watch and pray. Praying doesn't mean that you are a Pentecostal. It just demonstrates your relationship with God. These days, bro, people don't pray anymore. But they say the seventh seal is revealed. Didn't Jesus pray until
Gethsemane?
How many of you know that Brother Branham had a cave where he used to pray? It was used until he was taken home. If you try to fight the devil without a prayerful life, know that you are a chancer and you will be injured. God bless.
Men and women.
Till we meet. Let's just two worshiping songs.
I have a maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in.
Hallelujah.
I am a maker.
How many have a maker this morning?
Yeah.
already believe he hears you when you call. He knows your name. Not Peter. Your theophany. It's your new name.
Yes.
I say yes, Lord. I say yes to your will, Lord. I say yes, Lord.
I say yes.
I say yes, Lord. And left me for 7 years in that prison. Sometimes when you say where he leads you will follow, you need to understand. I've seen with my little daughter. It doesn't matter, we can take her to Limpopo.
She's happy. We can take her to Lydenburg or Pretoria. I realize that it does not matter where she is. What matters as long as she sees us as parents. So sometimes it's not where you are. It's who you are with. That matters. That's the last one. Till we meet on Wednesday. It's been a wonderful week. My heart is just bubbling with joy.
Amen. Oh,